Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Esto se llama Don't Interrupt Me, por favor. Estamos en Radio Kingston. Nick, tú te sabes muy bien eso de WK... ¿Cómo es esto?
WKNY. WKNY. 107.9 FM.
Impresionante, ¿eh?
1490 AM. Twitter, at Interrupt Show.
Wow. Qué bien que tenemos a Nick Leibert y Lisa Button, ¿no?
Porque todos juntos.
¿Eh? No, pero digo, qué bien que Nick Leibert se sabe siempre, se estudia la lección, se la prepara, se sabe la documentación.
Vi el documental, East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem.
Ah, sí.
Sí.
Esta voz que escuchamos es de un ser humano que se llama David Brosa.
Ser humano.
Yeah, David Brosa. Human being. It's going to be kind of difficult. That's why we have an hour to figure out who David Brosa is.
Ooh.
But let's ask you the question. Who's David Brosa? I mean, I'm going to say three things. I think you're...
Don't interrupt me, por favor.
Okay, I'm going to
say... Don't interrupt yourself.
I'm going to say you're... No. But before, because, I mean, it's kind of, who are you? Well, you should know. You invite me to your show. I'm going to say he's definitely... In my agenda, one of the top 10 singers of the world.
Wow.
In my agenda, one of the top 5 guitar players of the world.
Wow.
And my agenda, number 1 big heart of the world. That's David Brosa from Israel, from Spain, from America. Who knows? Who is David Brosa?
I'm from Tel Aviv.
You're from Tel Aviv?
Yeah.
Where's that?
איפשהו במזרח התיכון. הבנת את זה?
בלושלם עליכם.
אינו שלום עליכם. I was born in Haifa, and when I was a kid, we moved to Tel Aviv, and when I was a teenager, nos fuimos a vivir en Madrid, hasta los 18 años.
¿Un judío en Madrid?
Errante, sí, un judío en Madrid.
¿Y cómo se llevaba eso? ¿La gente sabía lo que eran los judíos en el Madrid que tú llegaste?
No, recuerdo que de vez en cuando nos encontraríamos con alguien en la calle que diría, yo también soy israelita.
Wow.
Increíble. Y entonces... sacarán un secreto de la familia que eran maranos o que tienen raíces judíos. So it's very have a kind of a two homes in my heart. One is Israel and one is Spain. And in New York is where I tell the story. But I've lived it basically in Israel and Spain.
And you always have your guitar with you.
Apparently, yes. You know,
to the degree that
I sometimes go in Tel Aviv to the market, the guys think, "Where's the guitar?" I say, "Listen, I don't have, you know, I got to carry tomatoes and lechuga and don't have place for the guitar." I always have my guitar with me. It's been something.
So the guitar started in Israel. When did you start playing guitar?
When I was 12 in Madrid.
There was music in your house.
My mother was Israel's first folk singer.
Okay.
With a guitar.
Okay.
And so there was always guitar in the house. And we, like, in Tel Aviv, when I was 5 or 6 years old, I remember artists from the States would come, like Pete Seeger and Harry Belafonte, The Platters, Odetta. They would all come and visit the country, then they wanted to visit an artist and meet an artist who was performing and writing music. So my mother was the one that... So the house was always full of music. And in Spain, I was into painting. I didn't like music. I listened, but I didn't care to play. And I was, I came to Spain, I became very lonely, no language, didn't speak English or Espanol. Entonces me quedaba en casa, solito, después de la escuela, pintando. Y un día vi la guitarra de mi madre por ahí, suelta, y la cogí y empecé a tocar un acorde y otro. Y así empecé, y desde los 12 años nunca he dejado la guitarra. Ni me ha dejado a mí. He dejado de pintar. Pero dejé de pintar a los 22 años. When I wrote my first song, I basically realized that this is going to be my career rather than painting. And so I dropped the art totally and dedicated since then for over 40 years of career.
Just so the beginning of your music is in Hebrew?
Yeah.
Can we hear something in Hebrew?
Mm.
So people know that you're a singer and you're a guitar player, and then we can all talk
Absolutely.
About whatever.
So this is a song, it's called Homecoming. kind of translation, rough translation. It's a poem by Jonathan Geffen, who's my close partner. We've been writing together music for, he's writing the poetry, I write the words, for the past 41 years or 42 years. And this is a poem I found of his in a book about coming back to the neighborhood where you grew up 20 years later and wondering what went down, what happened, where's everybody disappeared to. חזרתי הביתה אחרי 20 שנה במבט ראשון דבר לא השתנה שני סוסים קשורים לעץ התאנה קרטון על הבטון עם חץ לחתונה רקפות עוטפות זרי סלעים קהים שלוליות מקרקרות את שיר הצפרדעים אז כן אם יושבים בחוץ ומדברים צפלים סדוקים של תה ביסקוויטים עם חורים אבל לאן נעלמו הילדים ששיחקתי איתם איפה כל הילדים איפה הם תן רטוב נוצץ באור ירוק שועל שקרן בוכה בוודי לא רחוק אבל לאן נעלמו הילדים ששיחקתי איתם איפה כל הילדים איפה הם
So Israel, who wants to ask anything about Israel? That was Israel then?
That was Israel now.
How is Israel now?
Now, it's always interesting, complicated, challenging, confusing, angering, emotion, creating emotion, evoking emotion, inspired, everything. It's a hell of a mixed bag. It's a, you know, everybody knows about Israel, for good and bad. And but that's my home, it's my country, it's my language, it's my family. It's been there for generations, and so all I can say is that you wake up every morning and you're afraid to open the the note, you know, the phone, so you don't get all the bad news. And then you talk to your friends and you hear the stress, and they tell you. And we deal all the time in Israel. Everything, even when you have your first cup of coffee, there's a political issue that you're thinking of while you're sipping that first sip, you know, while you're opening your eyes. And then there's the home issues, you deal with kids like anybody, you deal with education, you deal with career, and then politics. And, you know, we have news bulletins every half hour in Israel. In this country, you have them every hour, but nobody listens to them, except for maybe late news or the prime time, 9 o'clock news or something. In Israel, everybody, on the bus, in taxis, you hear it everywhere you go. It's like drama every half hour. Every hour is the big news. So, interesting country. A lot of creativity. We kind of live in an island because of the reality with a... Israel is at war with its neighbors. Its neighbors at war with Israel. There's constant pressure. So we feel like we're very enclosed and living in an island. And that creates a situation where I think everybody feels like they have to invent themselves. And when you do that, then you're in your top level of creativity and vitality, always. And that's beautiful.
Invent themselves to escape?
Escapism. Not escape. So you're going to be incredible musicians, okay. Incredible artists. We make now, Guillermo was asking me last night about wine, because my family's been making wine there for 120 years, but it wasn't a wine-drinking country. Now, the wines that come out of Israel are, in the last 10, 15 years, are topping, like, they get prizes in France, they get prizes in California, they get prizes all over the world. They're so wild. So Israelis actually perfect their fantasies by creating, if it's technology, if it's art, if it's food, if it's everything. So because I think it's the island syndrome.
Es un lugar maravilloso. O sea, no hay más que ver el enclave en el mundo para viñedos, para frutales, la mermelada de naranja que haces tú es espectacular. Aparte del vino que hace tu primo.
Pero la música trae un alivio a la gente, ¿no?
La música siempre trae. Y la cosa interesante es que en Israel hay 120 nacionalidades. Dentro de un país bastante pequeño, muy pequeño. Uh-huh. Y entonces una mezcla es, no sé, es la tela de la sociedad israelí es tan mezclada, tan colorada, de tantos colores.
¿Tú siempre has creído que la música puede ser un elemento para tejer esa unidad que no existe tristemente entre el mundo árabe, entre el mundo palestino, entre el mundo judío?
Sí, existe.
Bueno.
El mundo... Te quiero corregir.
No, pues adelante, porque tú eres el invitado. Interrúpame, por favor.
La música es un puente, pero en realidad que la paz entre los políticos no existe aún. Mm. Pero entre la gente es increíble las unidades que hay. Yo trabajo en East Jerusalem, en Jerusalén Oriental, ya 20 años, más de 20 años que estoy ahí, grabando en the recording studio, with Palestinian musicians, Israeli musicians.
¿Qué se puede ver en el documental?
En el documental East Jerusalem, uh-huh. West Jerusalem. Era solamente 8 días de nuestra vida. Estoy ahí practicando eso 20 años, que creo que 80% del tiempo tomando grandes comidas, mucho café, mucha juerga, muy social. Y siempre... Al final de todo eso existe una canción, un blues o una rumba o una música árabe y todos tocamos y bailamos y lloramos y reímos y ya mucho tiempo. O sea que...
That's why I want to ask you about 1 Million Guitars, your project, because you're in that right now and mm-hmm. you've been bringing music to the kids who are unprivileged kids who right. didn't know anything about music, didn't know anything about a guitar and you have a project, 1 Million Guitars.
Yeah, it's kind of somewhat of a fantasy of a dream that exploded overnight for me. I've been working in this refugee camp within East Jerusalem. It's called Shu'afat. Es un campamento que debería tener 5,000 personas viviendo, pero tiene 80,000. So 80,000 people living wow. within an area that should actually have between 5 and 10,000. So it's very dense.
No trees.
Not even, yeah, maybe one tree that hardly exists. No trees. No ambulances, policing, nothing. No services, social services of any sort. UNRWA was there, but they don't function anymore. And it's kind of a lost case from our point of view, from me as an Israeli. El gobierno no apoya, no ayuda, y el gobierno palestino tampoco, porque no son refugiados. Y los quieren mantener así, hasta que haya un acuerdo entre los israelíes y palestinos. Entonces, yo empecé dando clases a 50 niños de 5 años a 15 años de edad. Basically, the idea was to get them off the streets y darles palos, with garbage cans.
Cubos.
Cubos, para enseñarles ritmos. Lo hice con un amigo, traje un amigo que es un parte de un grupo teatral israelí que se llama Mayumana, que son como stomp.
Oh, right.
Increíble.
Todo el ritmo.
Yeah,
todo.
Yeah.
Sí, son fantásticos. Y entonces, con ellos, con este chico, montamos ahí masterclasses de 3 o 4 horas. Y esto lo hicimos durante 3 años. Y yo iba a
montar. O sea que muchas madres te odian porque el niño estaba tocando el puto tambor hasta las 2 de la mañana por culpa del. ¡Es que me la da el brosa! ¡Pra, pra, pra! ¡Los vecinos! ¡Joder! ¡Me la da el brosa! ¡Pra, pra, pra!
Es verdad. Es que. La segunda vez
pero
que
no están en la calle.
Pero
siendo...
eso.
Sí. Pero, no, están en la calle las madres que salen corriendo.
Después de la segunda semana que yo estaba ahí, me llamaron. Sabes que the camps están controlados por 11 familias. Entonces, tienes que tener las familias que tienen que dejarte el paso, que vengas al campamento, esto. Entonces, los jefes de los 11 familias querían conocerme a mí. ¿Quién demonio es este que ha dado palos a los niños que están están en la nevera, en el baño?
Sí, lo que se llama tocando los cojones.
Y se sientan en un círculo y son gente muy, o sea, pretty scary people.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there looking at me and saying, so... why are you doing this? And I'm thinking, I don't know, I was invited to meet the kids, and I met them, and I was very moved, and I wanted to be here. Who sent you here? I said, I was invited, nobody sent me. Did you come from the Secret Service, from the Shabak? Are you from the Mossad? The government? I said, no, lucky me, nothing. It's I have 5 duros in my bolsillo, y ya está, no tengo nada. And I realized that they were really unhappy. One, that I'm doing it behind their backs. Two is that I'm Israeli. They don't trust me. I said, you know what? I'll convince you. And I realized that if I don't play, they won't understand.
Okay.
So I played. I played a song. It's like, I must have gone this. Subí al carro cuando pasaba por mi acera, todo el mundo pudo quemarse en su candela. Hay una legión de sátiros y piratas que de bar en bar le gritan guapa. Me hago seguidor de sus andares de pantera, peregrino voy donde el orden en sus caderas. ¿Qué me importa a mí si es un infierno en la calle, si por fin te llevo por el talle? Oye mi bien, tú la reina no es la mujer, yo si tú me quieres seré tu esclavo más bien. Pobre de mí, si de tu fuego me extravío, corazón del frío se olvidará de la luz. Sobre su perfil un sol de cobre se derrama, la rosa de abril desnuda en medio de la cama. Se ha brindado a mí con un amor que desarma, nunca la razón en un alma. Y era de esperar que yo esperara retenerla, pero todo el mal es poco mal para esa perla. Arde el bulevar y al borde de la locura, no sé yo quién va de su cintura. Oye bien, tú la reina de Isla Mujeres, y yo si tú me quieres seré tu esclavo más fiel. Por venir, si de tu pueblo me extravío, corazón del río se olvidará de la vida. Oye bien, tú la reina de Isla Mujeres, y yo si tú me quieres seré tu esclavo más fiel. Por venir, si de tu pueblo me extravío,
corazón del frío se olvidará de la vida. Ay, mi corazón del frío, mi corazón del frío, mi corazón del frío se olvidará de la ti.
Y entonces me dejaron entrar.
Bueno, pues anda, pasa, que tienes una manera de preguntar las cosas. Pasa, pasa.
And then they wouldn't let you leave, right?
Right.
In 1 million guitars. A ver, 1 million guitars.
To answer your question. So I decided I was going to build a school for them and create an environment for classical music. And I was getting involved with the Edward Said Foundation in Ramallah, putting everybody together. Ramallah, Nazareth, Tel Aviv. And one day I'm walking the street, it was in some big manifestation here on the streets, and somebody calls out to me and says, so did you start giving guitars? Because meantime I made the film East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, and it shows some of my time with the kids.
This is the 2014, for listeners who might not know about the film, it's called East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, right. As you've already said, but it's a film that came out in 2014.
Right.
And it's on Netflix now.
The idea behind the film is to show that it's people can play music together?
No, it's actually kind of sideline. Yeah. Uh-huh. But on the real idea is to let people look into a recording session that takes 8 days while I'm recording an album there.
Okay.
And along with Steve Earle, who's a great U.S., an American icon, who I brought in to mediate, be the producer, so that he would be completely neutral. Who wrote the song Jerusalem? But it's a beautiful. The whole story was for me to actually expose the work that we're doing there, so as to maybe inspire others in Israel and in other regions in the world of conflict to work together through music. Anyway, so this film is out, and somebody saw the film. There's a manifestation on the streets. He calls out. Turns out he saw the film, and he thinks I'm giving violins, and he says you should give guitars. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Give guitars? I said, okay, let's talk. We leave the manifestation. We go have a coffee. He says, you got to give out guitars. That's your instrument. That's your thing. And I'll help you. I'll help you put a foundation together. I said, okay, what? I don't want a foundation, but okay, let's say I have to. What will be? You give out 1 million guitars, and we call it 1 million guitars. I said, wow, just 1 million? The world is
Baby brosa, se regalan guitarras.
But I'm feeling a little slow. Someone off the street just says, give 1 million.
Someone off the street.
But so, who is this? Is someone you? I guess you get to know.
I get to know. I made him a partner. I said, okay, you're gonna walk the walk with me, right? Anyway, it's on my shoulders now. So I designed a little guitar. A guitar like mine, old Spanish guitar, nylon string guitar. I design it in a special way that instead of a hole, it has a heart. And instead of a wide neck, which makes it very difficult and alien for kids to, it's a challenge for kids. So it's a little of a narrower neck and much more comfortable for kids because we want it to be 8-year-olds and up. And it took about 1.5 years, and about 1 month ago, I distributed the first 1,000 guitars to kids around the country here in the U.S. Right now, we're in the distribution point of 43 states, and we have almost more than 3,000 schools, and I have a waiting list of 80,000 kids waiting. But the first 1,000 out, so now I don't have to sell 1 million anymore. It's only 999.
So what's the deal with the kids? I mean,
I want to interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought million. So this is not just in Israel. This you just said.
No, this is in the U.S. It's U.S. based, and it's in Israel now. It hasn't arrived in Israel yet. But so what we're doing is it's Israeli design. I told you we design wine, food, no guitars.
Well, the heart is international.
The heart is in there. Heart is international. Everybody has a heart, a hungry heart. No, the idea is that the child. We go to underprivileged neighborhoods and towns around the country. It could be in West Virginia. It could be in Alabama. We're out in Wisconsin. We're out in Arizona. Everywhere, even in the Bronx here and in New York area. And the child gets 28 lessons a year within the school program. It could be after school. It could be within the school. I joined in here in the States. I joined in with
the guitar stays in the school, right?
The child gets the guitar for his possession, but to be kept only in class. If he commits to 2 years and actually shows up for the 58 classes in 2 years, then his guitar is for his for life. He can take it home. It remains his property. And I work with two organizations called Little Kids Rock. that give the programs, the actual academic programs, and one is called Guitars in the Classroom, which is based in San Diego. One is in New York, one in San Diego. And this is our first, that was our first test case, and now I'm creating one in Israel, which will serve the Jewish Arab community, the Israeli society at large, and that's, we're starting actually next month.
How cool. Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty...
Te he dicho que merecía la pena invitarme.
Wow. Yeah.
No, que no, y este quién es, para qué va a venir. Sí, que merece la pena.
It's a very... I thought, why... I didn't realize there was such a need for instruments, you know.
So the next time someone yells at you on the street, you're going to pay attention.
Oh, yeah, I pay attention always. But you know, people yell at me everywhere, and it doesn't matter what. But the interesting thing is I never thought there was a need, but apparently in the last few years, the government here in the States, in Israel as well, I think in Spain, too, no tengo ni idea lo que pasa en España con eso, pero han bajado la...
Presupuesto.
Los presupuestos a los colegios en el tema de arte
en España. Uh-huh.
Entonces aquí
casi existe.
No existe. Uh-huh. Pero hay fundaciones que mandan profesores en todo este país, en Estados Unidos, por ejemplo, a enseñar música. Lo que no saben uh-huh. es que los profesores llegan con guitarra, con piano, con lo que sea, pero tiene uno. Y tiene 40 estudiantes o 30 uh-huh. en la clase, ¿qué va a hacer? Entonces yo, cuando vine con esta idea de dar guitarras, todo el mundo estaba, bueno, casi llorando. Oye, pero cómo... Es como un milagro.
Sí.
Y entonces cuando yo... I went to this conference in Colorado of Little Kids Rock. I met 600 out of the 2,500 teachers. And I showed them the guitar. And it was just like
magic,
godsend, you know. They mm-hmm. were, I couldn't believe it myself. And the guitars are beautiful.
So what was the reaction of the children? I mean,
we're waiting. I can show you photographs.
Yeah, I'd love to see them.
You want to see them?
Oh, they're beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, the kids are, you want to cry when you see it, because there's no such thing. You've never seen such happiness. First of all, I went to witness it in the Bronx.
Todavía no las ha visto y ya está llorando Lisa. Cuando las vean nos va a meter a...
Por los pellizcos, son por los pellizcos.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mira, así llegan a la clase, ¿no? Uh-huh.
Los pondremos en el Twitter, ¿no?
We'll tweet these photos out. They're amazing.
Show, algunas de las fotos. Mientras enseña las fotos de Bibb Rossa, me gustaría preguntarte por qué estamos hablando de América. ¿Cuándo entra América en la vida de Bibb Rossa? Estamos hablando de Israel, te vas de jovencito a España, vuelves a Israel. ¿América?
Sí, bueno, yo pensaba...
Beautiful.
Nunca pensaba venir a Estados Unidos. No tenía planes y no tenía ni
wow.
conexiones, ni contactos, ni nada. En 83, 84... Tuve un gran éxito en Israel, muy gran éxito, con canciones...
¿De pintura?
No.
Ah, la pintura de Hasler Brothers.
Yo traducí canciones populares españolas de Juan Manuel Serrat, de Manzanita, de Cecilia, Paco Ibáñez, al hebreo, y hice un álbum, homenaje a música española. Esto fue el éxito que hasta hoy es el éxito más grande en el mundo musical de Israel. Y todo el mundo canta, hasta tanto que cuando llegó Serrat a Israel en 85, el periodista que en la rueda de prensa, el primer periodista le dice, pues primero bienvenido y gracias por cantar las canciones de David Broza.
¡Ah, mira, para eso!
Hasta hoy, esta cena la pagas tú, ya, 40 años después. Entonces, un gran éxito. Pero yo pensaba venir a conocer mejor la cultura americana, porque yo como niño escuchando a Jimi Hendrix, a Otis Redding, a Bob Dylan, a The Band, Johnny Mitchell, para mí yo quería ver todo esto de primera vista, y entonces vine a Estados Unidos para quedarme unos 5 minutos y me quedé, el primer paso, 17 años.
Uf.
Hasta que empecé componiendo poesía americana en inglés, componiendo música y editando álbumes.
O sea, poniendo música a poesía americana.
Eso.
¿Y entonces, qué tipo de poetas buscaste? ¿Qué tipo de...?
Un tejano, ¿no?
Bueno, había... Bueno, un tejano... Bueno, tejano no. O había uno de Arizona.
¿Quién era?
Alberto Ríos.
Ah, sí, me encanta.
Sí, sí. Pues cantaré una canción. Pues mira, en realidad yo fui a una tienda que estaba escondida en la calle 47 en the Diamond District, ajá, en Manhattan, que se llamaba The Gotham Bookmart. Ahí tenían todos los libros que se publicaron de poesía americana, norteamericana. Y yo me sentía ahí horas y horas y horas, día tras día tras día, y con with a ladder, ¿no? Subiendo ahí, sacando libros from A to Z. De vez en cuando los que trabajaban ahí me traerían agua, café, un sándwich. Oye, ¿tú quieres? Ham and cheese. Vale, ham and cheese. No dejaba, yo estaba enfocado. Y de vez en cuando encontraría una canción y copiaría, porque no podía comprarlos. Copiaría esto es en 84, y llevaría a casa y hice la música. Y entonces yo quería conocer al poeta. Entonces un día llamé al publisher de este tipo, Alberto Ríos, y le digo, mira, yo soy un rock and roll artist, pop artist, y estoy componiendo música a la poesía de Alberto Ríos. Y dijo, vale, ¿qué quieres de mí? No, quiero... ¿Cómo llego a...? Ah, es el teléfono. Entonces, llámale tú. ¿Vale? Pues le llamo. Yeah. Le llamo a Alberto.
Collect. You call it collect.
Well,
he's the poet aquí. Arizona now.
Yeah, well, I don't even know America yet. So I'm calling this guy and I'm saying, Alberto, ¿sí? Me llamo David Broza y tal. Yo soy de Tel Aviv, de Israel, de rock and roll, music. Bueno, dice, oye, José, por favor, que no tengo paciencia a esto. Deja ya de dar mentiras y tal. He thought it was a prank.
Oh, yeah. Oye, por one favor, of his friends,
Alberto, mira, I'm coming to visit.
Oye, José.
I'm coming. Dice, pero qué va, vale. I'm coming. Okay, give me your address. He gives me the address. All right. I put the address down. I drop the phone. I say, I've got to go visit him. I look up. I take up a map. There's no Googles. I take up a map. He lives in Nogales.
Yeah.
On the border of Arizona and Mexico. And I'm in New York. It's going to take like 4 days by bus. Thinking, how am I going to get there? I got there. And we became real close friends.
Wow.
And so his, I mean, there were others. There was Matthew Graham afterwards and Liam Rector, then Elizabeth Bishop. And I worked with a lot. Then I ended up teaching creative writing in Bennington College.
Oh.
For the MFA courses for about 10 years. It was great, incredible. And I recorded 6 albums of most of American poetry.
Estamos en Don't Interrupt Me, por favor, y el invitado de hoy se llama David Broza.
You just interrupted me.
Well, too bad.
So this is an Alberto Ríos, who was the laureate poet of Arizona, actually. You know him, right?
Yeah.
The Chileno boys pull their fish by the fins in the dirt, and they sing about old times and the women they will know, Mariquita and Cara. Girls in their dreams of them, when they'll be men. Not different, not different, they say, and not different from you. Not different, not different, they say, not different from you. The Chileno boys pull their feet by the strings in the dirt, and they sing, confusing themselves in the inside tangled jungle of sons and fathers, themselves lost halfway into the years that have been and will be long. But not different, not different, they say, and not different from you. Not different, not different, they say, oh, not different.
they sell, what they catch, what they can, what they hold in their arms for the day. Sons and fathers of the sea, a world in which just to walk you must run. So they sell what they catch, what they hold in their arms for the day. Not different, and not different, they say, they're not different from you. Oh, no, no, not different, not different, they say. Oh, not different, oh, no, 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 from you. No, no, not different, no, and not different, they say, and not different, oh, no, no, no. I cannot, cannot, can't think it's not different, no. Somos la misma mente, somos iguales, somos como tú y tú y tú. Ay, ama tu maní, los soní, los. Ay, ama tu maní, los soní, they say, not different, they say, not different, they say. Ay, no, 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 not different, they say, not different, they say.
That's my first meeting with Alberto Rios.
Oh. What is, little, what's his reaction? I mean, come on.
We even became best friends forever. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Remarkable.
What a guy. And he's the first one to expose me really to the bilingual society that lives within the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So predominant everywhere that, you know, he says, you know, it's funny because my grandmother was... one of his parents was of English descent, one was Mexican. He's living right on the border. His grandmother didn't speak a word of English, so he had to speak Spanish with her,
right,
being Mexican, and he spoke with his parents English. And he was always embarrassed with his grandparents and with those who didn't speak the language, because out in the street, everybody spoke English. And we know this. Like, my parents, my father would speak, he was born in London, but he was raised in Palestine, then Israel. So he was comfortable speaking English with my mother, or maybe the one to speak behind my back. But I was always so embarrassed because in Israel, in Tel Aviv, everybody spoke Hebrew. And that was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I could totally relate. And, you know, I think it's funny, but this country is monolingual. It should be trilingual, but by now, bilingual. Because if you speak Spanish here, like I do, like Guillermo, like all of us here, we're lucky. We can walk the street and we talk to any kid, any person behind the bar, the server, the legal person, whatever, who speaks Spanish.
Brain
so
surgeon.
Many Latinos
the brain surgeon.
The brain surgeon who started out as the undocumented migrant worker. We had we had Dr. Q on the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're lucky.
Nick Death hablaba de un tejano. Yo no sé si se refería a la historia de la caja de zapatos.
Right. Townes Van Zandt.
Porque estabas empezando con Ríos, pero terminas con una caja de zapatos.
Hombre.
¿Y cuál es la historia de la caja
La historia, la caja de zapatos. Pues yo tenía relación... esto empieza ya con David Amram. David Amram es un gran músico que inventó... You should have him here. He is multilingual, every language. He is the man who invented the Beat Generation. He's the man who got Jack Kerouac to come and read in MacDougal Street and MacDougal Cafe while he played the jazz. And they started the Beat Generation. After them came, you know, Ginsberg and everybody else. He spotted me playing on a hill in Edmonton, Canada, in a festival. And he says to me, you got to come to Texas. Got to meet Townes Van Zandt. I say, who's Townes Van Zandt? This is 94. Anyway, later on that year, I get a phone call. And there's a show that's being put together at the Main Street Theater in Houston, Texas, and it's going to be dueling musicians. So it's going to be Townes Van Zandt, who's this legendary, I don't know if you know, Poncho and Lefty, and this guy is regarded, so I'd say Bob Dylan thinks he's the best songwriter ever to have lived in America. And so everybody, of course, he's written Dead Flowers for the Rolling Stones. People sing his songs. Everybody sings his songs. Emmylou Harris sings him. Willie Nelson sings everybody. So I don't know him much. I know a little bit. He knows nothing about me. David Amram is there. He's going to play some of his music. And Linda Lowe, another artist. But they're really doing it as a hosting thing. And so Townes gets to play first. And it's amazing. He's like the real Texas storyteller, right? And then I get to play mine. So I go like thinking, I'm not preparing him for, he doesn't know nothing about me. So he goes, anyway, I'm done with the blues, and he's saying, what the hell was that? And I said, well, what do you mean? That's my music. He said, what language? I said, it's Hebrew. 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 Man. So, of course, then he does his song, and I do another song, and then I go, mi niña se fue a la mar a contar olas y chinas, pero se encontró de pronto en el río de Sevilla. Y tal. And what was that? That's Lorca. I said, Lorca, what the hell? And then I sing, and then at the end, I do this song. Oh, the art of losing isn't too hard to master. So many things seem filled with intend to be lost. That's an Elizabeth poem, Elizabeth Bishop poem, which I turned to music. And he says, oh, my God. And he quickly, and I tell him it's about the poetry, I write music. So he quickly writes a phone number and he says, hey, call me. I got some poetry. And everybody in the room knows who he is. He's like, this is a legend. And sure enough, the show was 4 hours long. By that time, he was drinking moonshine. He was completely out. He was, you know, known to be a heavy drinker. And we remained in contact. We wanted to meet. And we did another show in a place called Kerrville Folk Festival in West Texas. One more time, but we never quite got to be together like he wanted to show me his poetry. One day, on January 1st or 2nd, 1997, I get a phone call from Linda Lowe, my friend in Houston. She said, I'm sorry to tell you, but Towns died from overdose. And it was very sad, but she said, but he called me a week before as if he had a premonition. And he said, look, no matter what happens, I have a box of poetry, and I want David Broza to get my poetry. No matter what, that's my wish.
Wow.
And also wrote a song that he wants me to sing. So she gives me the number of his wife. I call his, well, ex-wife, who he died in her bed. So basically she had ownership of everything. And I call her up, Janine, and we meet in New York City. And she says, well, I got everything in a shoebox. But if I can ask you not to demand it right away, because I'd like to show it to Willie Nelson, Bob Dylan, and, you know, say, hey, of course. First, give it to them. I mean, I'm not going to take it away. These are more important for the family income, if anything. Mm. But if nothing happens, let me know. And I forget about it. I didn't forget about it. I just let it be. And 8 years later, I was in Houston, Texas. So I call her. She's in Nashville. I say, remember me, David Broza? She says, sure to remember you. Yeah, everybody knows you in town, in Nashville. Everybody asks me, who's from Israel, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I said, look, I could come up tomorrow and I'd like to have the shoebox, if it's still there. She says, sure, nothing happened, like you said. I told her probably nothing will happen. Nothing happened. So she, actually she emailed me all the songs and I went to work. And 4 years later, I put out an album. It's called The Unpublished Poetry of Towns Van Zandt. Night Dawn is the name of the album. And it was a gorgeous, beautiful project. And I at least, mission complete, you know.
I'm a long ball hitter on a lonesome street. Dressed up like a turkey, I'm a sideshow freak. Only one thing that I can't do, that's you with me and me with you.
Se tiene que sentir uno muy bien, ¿no? Porque, quiero decir, la carrera de un músico, de alguien que hace música, de alguien que comparte música, no es solamente grabar una canción y que la pongan en la radio.
No.
Es un proceso de conocer gente. En esa canción está tu vida, ¿no?
Es el camino. Mm. El camino de mi vida es a través de las canciones. Igual que cuando llegué a España, había muchas cosas que me empujaron a este punto de mi carrera, pero al llegar a España para mí era cumplir lo que empezó cuando tenía 12 años, cuando vine a España, de niño, teniendo un poco más conocimiento de la cultura española y para poder ejercer mis fantasías a través del idioma. Y cuando vine a España era para componer con españoles. Aunque el primer socio mío era un uruguayo, pero en realidad componíamos las canciones en castellano, después con Javier Ruibal, con Pablo Guerrero y con muchos más.
El uruguayo era Jorge Drexler.
Es uruguayo, sí. Ah.
And how many rooftops in Spain did you perform on?
Rooftops or yeah. Street gutters?
Or yeah.
I'm the gutter guy.
You play in the subway for my movie, remember, for Candida?
That's
you play,
right.
You were playing the subway.
Hey, and I remember one time...
In the opening scene.
One time, yeah. Guillermo was staying in Plaza Oriente, and Guillermo sees me there. He says, I want to dare you to put out your guitar and play, and put out a box so people can put money. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember
and
that.
And I'm putting out the guitar, and by then I made myself known in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm literally, we're playing, and they're all, if you took pictures, I'd love to have them. He took it, and suddenly, an old man, I'm playing, yo, mi bien, tu la reina, whatever I'm doing, making a lot of noise, and this guy walks with him, he's an older man, he puts 50 euros, he says, por favor, no aquí. David Rosa, por favor. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember.
50 euros is a don't play here, please. The concert hall.
Yeah.
You.
Wow. Wow.
Aquí no. Mereces mejor.
There's a moment in the documentary where Mira Awad is being interviewed, and she's talking about language and about how language, you know, each language behaves differently. It's
correct.
Like a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about she's basically saying it's impossible to translate a song literally.
Correct.
But you can talk. Can you talk about what, you mean, you just did these three songs in these three languages.
Right.
How do you do that?
That's what I taught in Bennington College in the MFA courses. I taught about the language hidden and the body language that gets translated while you're reading languages. Okay, so if you're writing in Hebrew, you're writing in Spanish, writing the whole composure, the whole. You have to actually, like, when I remember one guy was telling me I had a date. I was going to play in Corpus Christi, and this guy here in New York City, this promoter, he says, "Please don't go there." I said, "Why?" He says, "They're going to hate you." I said, "Why?" He said, "They don't like Jews." I said, "How do you know? What do they know? What's the difference?" Anyway, so I had this in mind, and I'm thinking, okay. So I started playing Elizabeth Bishop, started thing, and they felt every break. And then I went to the... And I was behind a chicken net. It was one of those bars where they put you out there. It was basically for rockers. And people were really, like... At first, they were shocked. Then they started throwing things. But not because I'm Jewish, because they didn't want to hear a foreign language. They wanted me to speak in their language. Because when I sing in Hebrew, English, or Spanish, my whole demeanor changes. Mm. But, you know, when you translate, in a sense, it's like making love on the phone, over the phone. It's almost the real thing, but you're still alone when you're doing it. That's what translate. But I must admit that when I worked with Jonathan Geffen, the poet, on translating Serrat and Lorca and Manzanita into Hebrew, I can attest just from my own understanding of Spanish that it's at least as good as the Spanish. And sometimes, from a Hebrew point of view, it's the real thing. Just like the Spanish is the real thing. It's so real, that's why it succeeded so well. That's why when I sing those Spanish songs in Hebrew, I believe every word, every sound, every melodic insinuation that gets accentuated out, it's wholesome. I'm not delivering a translation.
¿Cuál es la canción que todavía cuando tú la cantas se te pone la piel de gallina?
Yetov, mi primera canción.
Yetov es un himno nacional prácticamente en
Israel,
¿no? Casi,
es la primera canción que hice. La canción, bueno, se formó en la noche que llegó el presidente de Egipto, Anwar Sadat, a Israel primera vez. Era en 19 de noviembre de 1977, hace mucho tiempo, y 42 años ya, y yo tenía 22 años, estaba sentado con Jonathan Geffen, el poeta, mirando el tema por la televisión, emocionados y todo, eufóricos, y él estaba escribiendo un poema y me lo da y dice, quiero música a esto, musicarlo, y lo tocamos en miércoles, en no sé, dos días en el teatro. Yo estaba acompañándole. Él es como en Lenny Bruce de Israel, político, pero también gran poeta. Y entonces tenía dos días para hacerlo, me quedé en el sofá y hice la canción. Y desde entonces la he tenido, bueno, desde entonces manifestando con ella, cantando en todo. Es canción. romántica, pero política, muy política, y creo que la he hecho como 8.000 o 9.000 veces ya.
Antes de que la
No,
antes,
no voy a cantarlo todo porque hay, tiene 42 vale, estrofas.
No, pero déjame que recuerde a los humanos que nos escuchan, porque aquí hablamos del lenguaje, del inglés, del español, pero hay otro lenguaje que es la música, que yo creo que es el lenguaje universal.
Sí.
Y ya lo hemos mencionado en otros programas, pero... cuando yo te oigo escuchar esta canción, yo no soy judío, yo no soy de Israel, yo no sé de qué narices estás hablando, pero me emociono. Joder. Esa es la fuerza de la música.
Es.
Yo no sé si me emociona, por supuesto, la canción, pero me emociona verte emocionarte.
¿Ah, sí?
¿Es y estás hablando del lenguaje, del cuerpo. Me emociona verte emocionar.
Puede ser. Yo, ¿cómo se dice? I surrender. ¿Cómo se dice en español?
Me rindo.
Me rindo. A la música. En esta canción se llama Yeto, todo irá bien. אני מביט מהחלום וזה עושה לי די עצור האביב חלף עבר לו מי יודע אם ישוב הליצן היה למלך הנביא נהיה ליצן ושכחתי את הדרך אבל אני עוד כאן ויהיה אז הלילה, או הלילה, איתך אני נשאר. ילדים לובשים כנפיים, ועפים אל הצבא, ואחרי שנתיים הם חוזרים ללא תשובה. אנשים חיים במתח, מחפשים סיבה לנשום ואין שנאה לרצח מדברים על השלום ויהיה טוב, יהיה טוב, כן לפעמים אני נשבע אז הלילה שם למעלה בשמיים עננים עומדים לעוף ואני מביט למעלה ורואה מטוס חטוף ממשלה של גנרלים מחלקת את הנוף לשלהם ולשלנו ולא רואים את הסוף שמחתי לקראתו פירמידו בעיניים ושלום במקטרתו ואמרנו היי בוא נשלים ונחיה כמו אחי ואז הוא אמר קדימה רק תצאו מהשטחים ויהיה cada año desde aquel momento Jonathan Geffen me llama y me da una nueva estrofa, entonces yo canté ahora 4 pero faltan como 40 más.
Muchas gracias David Brosa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being with here with us here for a long hour.
That it was a short hour.
He went so fast.
I was going to say
it's not long for him, he was performing.
Fue volando.
Don't interrupt me por favor.
Nos tenemos que despedir porque sí. La vida es así, la vida es así, no se puede estar todo el día en un
estudio. 60 minutos y ya está, puf.
Pero hasta la próxima, ¿no?
Y plaf.
Pero ya esto lo podemos hacer como una tradición, ¿no? Vale. Yearly tradition every year.
O cada semana.
Vale, lo que queráis. Tengo 400 canciones, así que...
Okay. Good luck with your guitars, with your million guitars.
Oh. Yes, thank you.
That's beautiful.
I'll come and bring back reports.
Okay, I'm so happy that you changed the drums for the guitar. So many moms and pops.
I don't know. My husband and my son are both drummers, and they're
in the basement as we speak, right?
Yeah, locked up.
I know.
For
but it makes for a lively household, and I always loved it.
For Don't Interrupt Me, por favor, listeners who want to find 1 Million Guitars, they go online. And they...
Yeah, 1millionguitars.org.
Okay,
that's okay. For now. We're launching a real website soon, but
they can find you in broza.com?
Broza.net.
Broza.net. Okay. Yeah. Broza.net.
Ahí nos
encontramos.
Mm-hmm. Muchas gracias. Davidbroza.net.
Davidbroza.net. Mm-hmm. Davidbroza.net. Okay. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
Take care. Good luck.
Yeah. Don't interrupt me.
And don't give up hope.
Por favor.
Okay. Adiós, Nick.
Adiós, Guillermo Fesser.
Adiós, Lisa.
Adiós.
Adiós, humanos. Nos vamos.
Adiós,
la semana que viene más.
José Alfaro.
José Alfaro, muchas gracias. Un técnico, pedazo de técnico profesional.
Con una sonrisa. Madre. Con una sonrisa.
Que no interrumpa.
Sí, que no interrumpe.
Por favor.
Su madre, la señora Alfaro, orgullosa. Sí. Mi hijo se ha colocado, está de técnico y tal. Y cada vez que sale por la mañana de casa, adiós, mamá, adiós, José. Tenga suerte. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll be back next week. Adiós.
Yes.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.